So any way you bless me, Lord, I'll be satisfied. Amen. Want to say that we're so thankful to have, I'll be back next week, and I didn't announce it, Brother and Sister McNeil, they were putting that mic on right there, start linking up, because Brother Eric Bethea is going to be our guest speaker on today. Every time when you come on the fifth Sunday, you expect a treat. Something a little special. So I called him up 2 weeks ago and told him on the fifth Sunday, be ready to come and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to let you know that Brother Bethea is kind of doing double, triple type duties. He, for the last 3 years, since 2015 all the way, 2014 all the way up to 2017, had been working with the Baltimore County Church of Christ, preaching over there twice a month over there to get his preaching skill perfected and help that congregation to grow because they didn't have a preacher and to do those things. The things went very well then. And then last year, I asked him if he would go do the second part of his training, and he is actually interning at the Edgewood Church of Christ under Brother Wilkie, amen, whereby he can get some ministry practice and ministry stuff going on. And somebody might say, well, Brother Bethea, you teach him all that stuff. No, I want him to be him. Amen. I hope he turned into me, but I want him to be him right now. So get away a little while and go get your preaching down, get your training down. He can do it from. He started in March, and he'll be interning probably until at least next March up there at Edgewood. And they're working them and got them doing all type of things up there to the glory of God. Amen? Amen. Because our God is a good God. So without further ado, we're going to sing two stanzas of Mansion, Robe, and Crown. Then after that, the next voice you're going to hear is going to be Brother Eric Bethea from the Edgewood East Baltimore Church of Christ. Amen? Come on.
Amen. It's good to be back home. Even though I'm just visiting, it's good to be back home amongst, hey, it's a lot of people out there today. Started a little light, and we fell right on in. It's good to be back home in East Baltimore. You never look so good. And I'm just thankful to be here. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my wife, Danielle, who supports me in everything that I do. I mean, everything. She's Dylan somewhere. Dylan's being good. That's good. Okay, Dylan's over there. I thought somebody might have had Dylan, but he's over there being good as well. And I'm just always thankful for our family. We will be celebrating our 12th year anniversary next Sunday. So give a absolutely. I pray that everyone is having a good day. I pray that everybody had a good week. I'm just thankful to be able to stand here in front of you. For those of you who may be visiting, welcome to the East Baltimore Church of Christ, where our senior minister is Brother Kevin Bethea. And I'm thankful to him and all that he's done for me in my life as my dad. Amen. Such a blessing. And all of the brothers that serve here in leadership, this is a blessed congregation to be in, to have so many brothers that's not only able but willing to serve in the capacity that they serve. And for that, we are grateful. I'm going to say a prayer before we get started, and then I'm going to jump right into my lesson. Amen? Amen. Follow me in a word of prayer. Lord, we have come into this house, gathering your name to worship you. We've come with our heads bowed and our hearts humbled. And we are just so thankful for the abundant mercy and grace that you have put on us, each and every one of us in our lives. At this time, as we come to just offer up a worship service that is pleasing to you, not just as a corporate body of believers, but individually. For worship is not always a group project, but it's something that we do individually for you, for what you've done for us. And because you've commanded us to worship you every Lord's Day, we actually be with those that are in the audience, that they may open up their ears to understanding, that you may give us understanding and reveal to us the truths in your word. Be with me as your voice at this time, that I may say the things only that you would have me to say, not adding or subtracting from your word, but giving it the power that it is. Thank you for all the things that you do for us, for sending Jesus Christ, your son, to die on the cross for our sins. It's his name we do humbly pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So you know that the scripture text that was read into your hearing was 1 John, and it was at chapter verse 7. But before we get to verse 7, I don't like to just jump into. I would like to kind of set up what's actually going on in this particular epistle that we're going to be talking about. Amen. Jeremiah, the prophet, wrote, he said that the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Matthew says that from the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, and blasphemies. The heart in and of itself, as far as its nature, it is selfish. It's all about self. It's self-promoting. It's self-acknowledging. It's self-protecting, self-preserving. It's all about itself. It's all about getting its own glory and its own praise. It's all about me, 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 and more me. It's a song that was out years ago that was called, one of the words of the song was called, "You Do You, and I'ma Do Me." Right? Some of y'all remember that song. "You Do You, and I'ma Do Me." And that's what the heart is all about. You do you, and I'ma do me. Now, because the heart is like that in its nature, it's not fit to lead. It's not fit to lead us anywhere. And what's going on today is that everything is all about feeling, emotion. If it feels good to you, then it's the right thing to do. It's about, the heart is, for some people, a compass on what's right and what's wrong. But because in and of itself it's evil and deceitful, you can't trust it. Therefore, if you can't trust it, you can't follow it. See, the heart was made to be led, not to lead. And what's going on right here in this text is, I want to talk about what you put yourself in danger of when you allow your heart to do the leading. When you allow your heart to lead you, you put yourself in harm's way. Now, Jesus was talking to his disciples, and don't turn. You can if you'd like to. John chapter 16. He was speaking to his disciples about the fact that he was going to be leaving, but that when he left, he was going to send a comforter. He said, "I'm going to be leaving you." And his disciples had a tough time dealing with that or accepting that. And they didn't even ask where he was going. They just was fact that you leaving us. You ever just been with somebody and they just brought you so much joy that when they left, it just, you don't care where they was going. You just wanted them to stay with you. And that's what Jesus was to his disciples. They felt so safe with him. He was always teaching. He was always taking a lead role. He was always filling them up with what they needed. So just to know that someone like that was leaving was something tough to understand, to accept. But what he said was, he said that it is expedient. It is good that I leave. It is going to be helpful for you, for me to go. And the reason why he said it, what he said, because when I came here to do a job, I came here to, because in a garden, you had the power over death. And I came because you gave that power away. I came to get it back and give you the keys. But after I give you the keys, my job is done. And I'm going back to glory. He said, but then there's going to be one that's going to come after me that is going to stay with you. He's going to dwell with you. He ain't going to leave you. And it's not only is he not going to leave you, but he's going to guide you in to all truth. It's called the Spirit of Truth. The title of my sermon this morning is going to be called Deciphering the Spirit. Deciphering the Spirit. Deciphering the Spirit. To decipher something means to be able to properly identify it, to be able to properly interpret it, to be able to call it out from amongst anything. So you got to be able to know that there's differences in spirits. And what was going on is John, he wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelation. And this particular epistle in 1 John, this was not a letter that was written to lost people. This letter was written to people of the household of faith. This epistle was written to Christians. And it was written to Christians. And what was going on at the time was they were in danger because they were, some was allowing their hearts to lead them as we do. And they were going to put themselves in danger of following the wrong spirit. Because sometimes when you want something so bad, you'll look for it until you get it. Even if somebody told you before that that's not what you want. And I know from experience, sometimes you look for stuff and you find it. Sometimes you pray and you pray and you pray and God give it to you even though he don't want you to have it. Because sometimes he knows that that's going to be the only way that you're going to let it go. You ever had your children come to you and ask you for something? You say no, no, no. And then eventually sometimes you just break down and say, take it. Because I want you to see why you shouldn't have. Because sometimes if you don't have a pain associated with certain things, you won't let it go. It has to be, sometimes it has to be a pain negotiated with certain things. Now, we're going to get to verse 7. But I'm going to explain some things that he was trying to talk about. During this time, there was a thought or a way of thinking called Gnosticism. When they believed in... Let's read. We're going to read verses 1, 2, and 3. It said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." What was going on at this time was they were coming and saying that Jesus, no, the Gnostics, they did not disagree that Jesus existed. They just said that he was not in human flesh. They said that there was a separation between flesh and spirit. And because God is divine, and because we're calling Jesus divine, that he couldn't have been if he was in the flesh. Because they named the flesh to be evil. The flesh is in and of itself is not what's evil. It's the heart. It's you. It's you that dwell within the flesh that make it evil. See, when God put on flesh, it's holy. When you put on flesh, it's evil. Let's not call what is wrapped in what it is. Because that ain't what it is. Because, and this is an important piece, and you'll understand as we go on in the lesson, that it was important for them not to give way to that. Because when you give way to say that something is evil and that it can't be good and it can't do, you won't even try. You won't even put forth an effort. And not only that, in order for Jesus to be able to pay for our sins on the cross, he had to have been all man. Because man was who owed the debt of death. He said... God said that the wages of sin is death. When we sinned in the garden, everybody that was born owed that debt of death. And unless human flesh, human blood paid that cost, we still hold that debt until this day. It is important for you to understand that when someone says that Jesus did not come in the flesh, that that person, that spirit is not of God. The only spirit, the first telling of a spirit to see if it's of God, if they believe that Jesus Christ was all God, all man, and he died on the cross for your sins and rose up. If you can't, if they don't say that, then it ain't of God. And you need to don't bid at God's speed and walk away. Now, what he wanted us to understand was that if you read in verse 2, it says that, but any tongue that confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that spirit is of God. And if you read in verse 4, it says, ye are of God. And he's talking to Christians. He's saying, because you have confessed this thing, ye are of God. He says that ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Jesus was on the coast of Caesarea Philippi with his disciples. And he wanted to know, Who do men say that I am? And he answered and said, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elias or Jeremiah or some of the other, or one of the prophets. And he said, well, who do you say that I am? Peter stood up, or Peter set out amongst the disciples that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal that unto you, but only my Father, which is in heaven. He also said, but that statement that you just made was so powerful. It has so much revelation in it that I'm going to change your name. He said, your new name is Peter. He said, thou art Peter. And upon that statement, or upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Great is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He says the gates of hell will not prevail against those that have spoken, confessed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and live as his teachings. Amen. If you want me to finish, I need to know you get it. So, hey, I ain't going to give you a time because I don't want to stick to it so much. So, amen. Preach, brother. I know that's right. Any of that'll work. But if I know you got it, I'm going to move on. Verse 5 says that they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world. And the world heareth them. The desire sometime in our hearts is just so evil that we just going to look for the thing that we want to do, and we want to find a person that's going to tell us, that's what I would do. There's many different teachings out here, and you can, whatever you want to do, you can find a teaching to back it up. I guarantee it. If whatever it is that you decide in your heart to do, when you allow your heart to do the leading, it's going to lead you somewhere where you're going to get something that's going to make you feel good about doing what you do. Because you know what? When you listening for the right thing, the world is listening for worldly stuff. The world is going to hear the world. If you are after a certain way of handling a problem or making a decision or living your life, there is a word that someone can give you that's not of God, but that will make you feel good of walking in that way. That's why you got to be careful to know who's doing the leading. Is it your heart leading you, or are you leading your heart to where it ought to go? Now, this is where stuff gets a little tricky. It says, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. And he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. He said, that's how you're going to tell a difference. He said, you're going to tell a difference because the world is not going to hear what you got to say. They're not going to agree with what you have to say. The ones that are of the world are going to hear those that are of the world. Sometimes we spin our wheels with people and they didn't already showed us through action and how they respond to us that where they are. Sometimes they already see and they've already told you without telling you that I'm of the world. We don't want to hear it. Because inside of us, we just say, well, we just got to work with them. Sometimes the work that got to be done with that person, you can't do. The work that needs to be done in that person needs to be done of God and only of God. And you got to be okay with that. Now, that's spirit. Because remember, we're trying to decipher the spirit. One of the biggest ways to decipher the spirit is what I just said about how you see Jesus. Because when you see Jesus as your Savior and you have confessed and you have been put in the church, then now you got another thing that you need to show forth to show that you got the spirit. And that's love. And that's love, the spirit of love. This is what he says. Verse 7 says this. It says, beloved. It says, let us love one another. For God is love. And everyone that loveth is born of God. Now I want to speak on love for just a second. Love in and of itself by its nature is not selfish. love in and of itself, the nature of love is sacrifice. The nature of love is when it's time, when a person that you gotta love don't deserve the love, what you do from there shows if you love them or not. And as a matter of fact, sacrifice ain't sacrifice if you don't feel it. Sometimes we call something a sacrifice and we don't feel nothing. It ain't hurt none. It was easy to do. We weaved it into the plan. Sacrifices don't work that way. Sacrifices are something when you do it, you feel it. It's not out of convenience. It's out of inconvenience. And sometimes when we say we love something or we love someone, we doing the same kind of love that the world can do. Turn your Bibles real quick. I want to show you an example. Turn your Bibles real quick to Matthew. Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. One of you guys got a mic? You got a mic? Matthew chapter number 5. And I want to start reading at verse number 43. Can you read that, Brother Claiborne?
You ready?
I'm ready.
You have heard that it has been said that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy.
Mm-hmm. In times past, God said, I'm setting something up to be fulfilled. And once it's fulfilled, then I'm going to move on to the next thing. Mm-hmm. This has been fulfilled with Jesus Christ.
Okay.
What's the next part?
But I say unto you,
now that I have fulfilled that, I'm going to show you something that's deeper than what I taught you before.
Mm-hmm.
And what's that?
Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you.
Okay. Stop right there. So he says, this is the ultimate test of your love.
Come on, come on.
He said, I want you to bless them
right
that curse you.
Yes, sir.
I want you to love them that hate you or love them do that good. Are your enemies.
Do good to them.
He says that when sometimes we get on a page where as long as we walk hand in hand and there ain't no disagreeing and ain't no art right. between us, we good.
Okay.
As long as you going the way that I'm going and you ain't saying nothing about me not doing stuff that you want me to do, whatever it is, as long as we good, we good. But when you start to no longer be good, now we in a test. Now we're in a test of love. What does it say? Keep going.
Verse 45. That you may be the children of your Father,
mm-hmm.
which is in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil
mm-hmm.
and on the good
mm-hmm.
and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust.
Verse 46.
For if you love them which love you, what reward have you?
Stop. He said, how are you my children if you love them that love you? How are you my children if you love them that love you? That's about as easy a love as you can give. That's like a deserving love. It's like that's what something pulls love out of you when somebody loves you first. What's the next thing you say after that?
He said, do not even the publicans,
he said,
the saints?
Sinners do that.
Yeah. Amen.
That's what
he said. Sinners can do that. He said, you ever had a class and you did more than everybody else?
Uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And then y'all all get the same grade?
Okay.
You feel like you did extra credit, but you ain't get no extra credit acknowledgement.
Uh-huh.
Ain't nobody shout your name out. Uh-huh. Nobody said, look at what X, Y, and Z did, or we're going to give you an extra reward that everybody else didn't get.
Uh-huh.
What he's saying here is that you get, what reward should I give you for doing what everybody else has done?
Yeah, amen. Amen.
When I have called you to come from among them and be separated from them.
Yes, sir.
What reward should you get for that? What was the next thing he said, brother, in verse number 47?
And if you salute your brothers only,
mm-hmm.
what do you more than others?
Mm-hmm.
Do not even the publicans so?
Stop. He said right there, he said, if you only love those that are your brethren, people, East Baltimore is a loving congregation.
Amen.
Right? And a lot of times we love each other because we got relationship with everybody.
Okay.
We know everybody. Right? I know you. You know me. You know my family. I know your family. We got this love that we have. Right? But then you get somebody that's a new convert. Then you get someone that's just coming from the outside in.
Okay.
And when they get in, that love that we are showing, believe me, they see it and they feel it. Yeah. It ain't the same. It's not a brotherin type of love. And sometimes what we lacking is that the fact that that is the love that is of God. Mm. Not the first. The first one where you only love your brethren, that's not of God. That's just that's human nature.
Yeah.
To love one that loves you. But when you start to love those that you don't know in a way that you would if you really knew them, then that's the love of God. And that's when you are of his children. That's when you're called the children of the Father.
Amen.
Turn back to 1 John. I heard a couple amens, so y'all got that one. Go to 1 John. Go to 1 John. Verse 9 says, in this was manifested, this love that we're talking about. He said, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Now, I want you to know something else, because God being love is a verb.
Okay. Right.
It's not his name. It's how he operates. God operates everything in love. That job that he gave you was through love. That God, that job that he allowed you not to get was in love. That relationship that he allowed to flourish was due to love. That relationship that he allowed to fail was due to love. That child that passed away was in love. That spouse that passed away was in love. Your misfortune was in love. Sometimes we measure God by the good things he's done for us that we believe to be good, because we are following our hearts instead of following the Spirit. Because the Spirit says that God does everything in love. He doesn't do anything out of hatred. Everything, even the stuff that you feel as though you don't deserve, he did it out of love. And we got to understand that, and we got to do the same thing, because we are supposed to be children of that kind of love. Therefore, we got to show that love to our brethren. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 5, I think it's verse 8, where it says that while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us. And as a matter of fact, there's a couple verses before that said that some scarcely would die for a good man. Some even would question, maybe, die for a righteous man. But while we were the brown stuff at the bottom of the barrel, he died for that. Right? So when people come out and they have this, I can't love you because you don't deserve my love type of, that's not of God. That's not of God. He says that don't none of y'all deserve the love that I gave you. None of you deserve the love that I gave you. He says right here in verse number 10, he says, herein is love. Not that we loved God. He didn't love us because we loved him. He said, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Remember, I was talking about that sacrifice. God, what you think it did to God to know that he was allowing the crucifixion of his son that did nothing to deserve it? You think he felt that?
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
You get a phone call from your school and they suspending your child. They suspending your kid. No, I make it harder. They ain't suspending them. They throwing your kid out of school.
Amen.
Throwing them out of school.
Okay.
And they throwing them out of school because so-and-so said with no proof that they did X, Y, and Z. No proof. They don't need no proof, they say. They say that the information came from a credible source. What's the source? We can't tell you.
Yes, sir.
We know how they work.
Yes,
tell me you ain't going to feel that.
Yes,
and then you go and talk to your child and you say, baby, what happened? You know we believe our kids right if they lying or not.
Yes,
baby, what happened? So-and-so did X, Y, and Z, and I told the teacher, and they lied and made it seem like I did it. And now you hurt because now you feel like your child is innocent, but they being punished for something that somebody else did. Man, sometimes we got to look and see that when Christ died on the cross for our sins, that he was being punished. He was doing something that he ain't really. He asked the Lord, he asked the Father, if this cup can be passed by me, let it. But he said, but you know what? Because love is sacrificial, and because you got to feel it, and because it need to hit you here, he says, but whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. See, when you follow in the Spirit, and the Spirit tells you that when someone is not on the same page as you, the heart says, you right, they wrong, and they need to deal with their own emotions. But then the Spirit will say, love your enemies. Or the Spirit will say, do good to those that purposely persecute you. You at a crossroad. You either going to follow the heart or you're going to follow the Spirit that's leading you into all truth. I'm almost finished. Verse number 11. It says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now, I want to explain this to you a little differently. I want to talk a little bit about, because it's not, because sometimes we so far into a situation that we can't even accept this type of sermon because of some feelings that's in our heart towards somebody else. Right? Sometimes we done been damaged so bad that we like damaged goods. And we ain't really no good to nobody. So you hear it, but it's falling on the seed is falling on a hard heart. And what I want you to understand is that Jesus is saying, I want you to do this because I did something for you. And I want to talk a little bit about forgiveness. In Matthew, we're not going to turn it if you can, if you'd like to, but in Matthew chapter, I think it's 18, there was a parable that Jesus was saying because one asked, how many times should I forgive? How many times? And what he said was, seven times? He said, no, 70 times seven. He said, but you know what? You ain't getting it, so let me explain to you what I mean by that. He said that there was one that owed a debt. A big debt that he couldn't pay. And while he's owing this debt, he asked and he begged if he could be excused from the debt. And the Lord said, yes, I will excuse you from your debt and I will bid you to go away. And he went away. But then when he got the way he was going at, then the tables was turned. See, God forgave us of our sin. And now somebody sinned against us. And now we going to approach that. And when you go to approach that now, what you're saying is they don't deserve forgiveness. And what he said was when he went and he seen that he was owed a debt and the guy did the same thing, he said, let me go of this debt. He said, no, I will not. As a matter of fact, I'm going to throw you in prison until you can come up with what you owe for this debt. But then word got back to the one that he owed a debt to. And he said, let me tell you about what the servant that you just forgave. Let me tell you what he did. Somebody owed him a debt smaller than what it is that he owed you, and he ain't even forgive him. He threw him in jail, and then when he found out, he said, bring him. And he brought him, and he said, why did you do this thing if I forgave you of your debt? He said, so because of the way you forgave them, this is what I'm going to do to you. Your forgiveness will be retracted, and now you're going to get the same punishment that you delivered to them. And God said that that is exactly how God is going to do us that have unforgiving hearts, unforgiving spirits, because an unforgiving heart does you damage and not the one that you refuse to forgive. See, you got to forgive because God told you to and not because they deserve forgiveness, because you didn't deserve forgiveness. But you got it because the Spirit of truth. Of love, of God, said that because I do everything in love, and because love is more powerful than anything, And because no matter what you do, I have the decision on rather if I want to repay or not. And I'm God all by myself. I'm not going to repay, but I'm going to love. And when he did that, he says that this is what you need to do to show that you are of the Spirit. This is how you decipher the Spirit, is the fact that when one is hard to love, even some deem to be impossible to love, the Spirit is going to love that person. When you're walking down and you're doing whatever it is that you're doing, or you're just living your life, you know, in the church, outside of the church, your love is tested by those that don't deserve your love. Your love is tested by how you forgive those that you feel don't deserve forgiveness. Your love is seen by, was this out of convenience or was this out of sacrifice? Did you feel it? Did you have to give something up? And sometimes if that's not the answer, then maybe you're not operating in the Spirit. Last point, verse number 12, it says, no man have seen God at any time. It said, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. No man has sensually with their eyes seen God. The only way, according to the Bible, that we will know of his existence is through love. Amen. Through the love that we show, not just how you love, but how you live, walk, talk. Everything that you do is to show forth of God in you or dwelling inside of you. That's how you show God to the world, through your love. And what he's saying here is that he says that Jesus came and he started it. He came and he started the love. He was the first. He made the first move. And not only did he make the first move, but he finished everything as far as the victory over death. But then he says that the love that I need for the whole world to see is going to be completed by you. You got to finish the love. He said, I started the love, and now I want you to finish the love. I want you to take the love that I've shown you, and I want you to edify, or I want you to example it to the whole world for the world to see. And what he says is, and this is how you're going to be able to do it. He says, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And why is that important? Do you remember when I was talking about the flesh and the Spirit and how the Gnostics wanted to separate it? Remember how I was telling you how a lot of people want to follow their hearts and use their hearts as the compass on what to do, what's right, and what to do that's right and what to do that's wrong as far as the decision-making is concerned? The Spirit is going to be the power that gives you that you need to love. If you don't have the Spirit, you can't do this stuff I'm talking about. You can't do this stuff I'm talking about. So for you to say that the flesh is evil and that no good lie in the flesh and that the Spirit of God can't enter into it because it's evil, then we talking about nothing. We talking about nothing at all. We talking about something that's not even inside of you. But the Bible says that once you confess and you are born of the Spirit and you have the Spirit, you have what you need in order to do these things that he has told us to do as far as exercising ourselves in love. That's all I got. Now, and let me tell you something. If you have been baptized into Christ, you have this Spirit in you. If you have confessed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he came in the flesh and died for your sins, you have this Spirit, and you went into the water and was baptized, you have this Spirit. You have all that you need to do what it is. The question is, are you following your heart? Or are you allowing your heart to be led by the Spirit? Once you identify the Spirit, now it's time for you to allow your heart to follow that Spirit. And don't follow after the things that your heart wants. Your heart is deceitful. It's going to mislead you. It's going to lead you somewhere that you don't think you're going there, but it's leading you somewhere that you don't want to go.
Amen. Amen.
John might have wrote this particular epistle to the brethren, to Christians, but his gospel, he recorded an event with a man named Nicodemus. And what happened with Nicodemus was a man of the Pharisees. He was a ruler of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said, Lord, I know that you are a teacher of God because no man can say these things or do these things unless God be with him. Yes. Jesus knew what he wanted because he's all powerful. He's all God and man at the same time. He says, Nicodemus, except you be born again, you shall not enter into the kingdom of God. So he said, well, how can one enter into or be born again? Shall he enter when he's old? How shall he enter back into his mama's womb? He said, Nicodemus, he said, unless you are born of the water and of the spirit, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. If you have not been baptized, you do not have the spirit. You might identify the spirit, but it is not dwelling with you. Because in that last verse right underneath that, it says that because that is born of the flesh is flesh. And that is born of the spirit is spirit. I don't know if you have the spirit or not, but you do. I know you know how to identify it. But will you follow it? Or will you continue to follow your heart? That's going to mislead you. And that's going to take you. You're going to feel good the whole trip. Let me tell you that right now. You're going to feel, when your heart is leading, you're going to feel good the whole way until you get to your destination. And then there's no retracting it. But you ain't going to really like certain parts of the journey when the Spirit is doing the lead. It's going to be rough. It's going to be tough. It's going to be sacrificial. You're going to have to do stuff you don't want to do. You're going to have to love people you don't want to love. You have to go places you don't want to go. You have to help people you don't want to help. You have to give up stuff that you love. You have to give up stuff for people that you feel don't deserve the stuff that you've given them. But what he did say was that when you finally get to your destination, it's not even going to be a comparison to the stuff you had to get to when you get there. If you don't have the spirit, this is your time. Let's stand. Love. Leave by saying this. The Bible says that a greater love no man have than this. Than a man lay down his life for his friends. No greater love. I only know one that did that. And that's Jesus Christ. I only know one that. Now remember, they ain't take his life. He laid it down. He gave his life. And when he gave his life, and he said, I did it because you allowed the power of death to be taken from you.
Amen.
See, I gave you the power over death in the garden. I told you about death, and I told you what to do to keep power over it. But you didn't do what I told you to do. So therefore, I'm going to come, and I'm going to sacrifice, and I'm going to die, lay down my life to get the keys back. And I'm going to give them to you.
Amen.
But he said the only ones that's going to get the keys over death are going to be the ones that have joined me in my death through baptism.
Amen.
He said, because I'm the firstborn of the spirit. And if you want to be of spirit, you have to be born again. If you have not been born again, then you are currently in the corporate body of Adam, which owes a debt of Amen. Sin and death.
Amen.
The only way out of the body of Adam is the same way that you were born in the body of Adam. You got to be born into another body.
Amen.
And that body is called the body of Christ, which is the church.
Amen.
If you don't want to have to pay that debt of spiritual separation for God for eternity, the only way to do it is you got to be born again.
Amen.
You got to give your life to Christ.
Yes.
You got to confess that he is the Son of God. Amen. And you got to go down in a watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins.
Yes.
And then you come up, and it's going to be hard. But when you come up, you're going to have all these brothers and sisters, this big family to help you out. Yeah. We're going to teach you. Yeah. We're going to help you to grow. Yeah. We're going to help you to forgive. We're going to forgive you when you mess up. We're going to love you the same way that God loved us.
Amen.
If you've never seen a love like that before, well, you are in the place that you were destined to be.
Amen.
Because that love is only in the church.
Amen.
If you are subject to the Savior's invitation and want to be baptized, we will sing a couple more stanzas and now the sermon will be yours.
Amen.